Hi, everybody. Thank you all. Welcome to the October 4th meeting of the Committee on Environment and Energy. We have a really important meeting today. The Tappan Zee Bridge project really not only affects the million people here in Westchester, but millions of people regionally throughout the Northeast and New York State and the whole Mid-Atlantic region. So we're really looking forward to the update that we're about to receive today. Just a little bit of house cleaning business. At the end of last week, as you may have heard, I will be assuming the role of majority leader that was so capably filled by Legislator Abenanti. And he is going to be assuming the role of chair of this committee starting next week. So there will be, Tom and I will talk. I'll bring him up to speed on what we've been doing. I think, when I think of the Environment Committee, I think of Tom Abenanti because for my first 2 years here, Tom was the chair and was my mentor in that capacity. So I think we all look forward to having Tom back in this capacity.
Well, thank you.
The word is continuity, right?
Whether it be for a short time or a long time. So that's what's going on. We have a quorum, Legislator Marcotte, Legislator Myers, Legislator Burton, Legislator Abenanti, Legislator Rogowski, and myself. Okay, without further ado, we have with us Michael Anderson from New York State Department of Transportation, who is the project manager. We have several other of your colleagues here. If you'd like to introduce them, that would be great. And then why don't we open the presentation up to you, and then we'll turn it over to legislators for questions. So welcome, and thank you for coming.
Thank you, Legislator Harkin, and other distinguished legislators and guests. I would like to introduce other members of my team. I'm joined today by Mrs. Beth Hines. Yvette is my Deputy Director for Outreach and Community Development. Mr. Angel Medina represents the New York State Thruway Authority. Angel is the Project Director for the Thruway. And we have Mr. Joseph Casanello from MTA Metro North. Joe's also the Project Manager for Metro North. I really would like to thank the committee for this opportunity to bring the committee up to date. It is definitely the most important project in the region and in the state and the East Coast and maybe the country for that matter. So today I'll be here to bring you up to date on the current status, a little bit of history, but really focus on where we are right now and what lies ahead in the coming months and subsequent years. Little bit of detail. The bridge is what has brought us the opportunity to talk about the project in the scope and magnitude that it now exists. The bridge is the central focus, literally, but it's also the center of the project corridor, which is approximately 30 miles. The corridor under the study, which would be the limits of the initial physical infrastructure improvements, runs from the village of Suffern in Rockland County all the way across the Thruway corridor, across Rockland, across the river, and then all the way across Westchester through the I-287 corridor to the village of Fort Chester. It's been a project objective from the beginning to utilize existing corridors to the greatest extent that we can, and in doing so we're able to intersect all of the major roadways in the region, and we will have connections with all of the existing rail and bus lines in that 30-mile corridor. That makes for a very extensive transportation network. The project had its formal beginnings in December of 2002 with the Thruway and Metro North partnered with the Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration. They formally published a notice of intent that got the project started. Since then, there was initial scoping, there was an alternatives analysis regarding the various transportation modes that were under consideration. There was initial engineering and environmental work done in 2007, and at the end of 2007 and 2008, The lead agencies understood that as big as the project was, at that time we were considering a wide range of combinations of transit elements. And then there was, should the bridge be rehabilitated or not? This is always unhelpful. Have to hit it more hard. So in 2008, we undertook a scoping update. We reopened scoping. We refiled that formal federal notice of intent. We didn't start from the beginning, but we set out to narrow the focus. Let's decide on what makes sense, replacing this bridge or rehabilitating it, and what transit modes do we want to go forward with, and then move forward from there. There were other important environmental and procedural things that came out of that scoping update, and I'll touch on those as we move forward. Right now, we are in the throes of the development of the draft environmental impact statement, but only after a considerable amount of input from not only the communities, but the public at large. We've decided that the bridge needs to be replaced. We've decided to implement a cross corridor. That means from Suffern, across Rockland, and across Westchester to Portchester, a new bus rapid transit system. The county has its own experience, obviously, with bus rapid transit, with the Central Avenue Initiative and others that are under study. And we've been working very closely with your planning and DOT people, not only in following their progress with that, but how that and other existing bus systems in Westchester will interact in the future. We've also decided that there will be an extension of the existing commuter rail transit service from the Port Jervis facility, the Metro North system in Orange County, into Rockland, with service coming across Rockland and then down the Hudson Line into Grand Central Terminal. That's to address two very distinct commuting markets, the inter and intra county, and then the west of Hudson to the east side of Manhattan. Now, all of this has been the outcome of very intensive technical and planning studies, the results of which have been posted on our project website and are available to the public. But as much progress as we had made in 2009, there still were a wide variety of options that needed to be taken into further consideration. Okay, we decided to replace the bridge, but what does that mean? And we've settled on the bus rapid transit and the commuter rail, but where does that fit in the actual landscape? So there were a lot of options that needed to be considered. Again, the documentation of the progress of that process in 2008 and 2009 is very well documented, and it's comprised primarily of four separate reports. We issued a new scoping, not a new, but an updated scoping summary report in June 2009. We compiled all of the comments that we received in 2008, 2009, and in prior scoping sessions. Upwards of 3,000 or more comments have been taken and addressed. There was a very detailed technical report on the transit mode, what brought us to the decisions with the bus rapid transit system and the commuter rail, and is a very comprehensive technical report on why replacing the bridge is necessary. Just to summarize, the bridge has a lot of vulnerabilities. All of the problems you read about and the problems over the past couple of years with the deck replacement, they're all symptomatic of the overall chronic problems that the bridge is experiencing. The bridge is absolutely safe for traffic. It never has been a question of is it safe. There have never been load restrictions on for trucking or restriction in number of lanes. And it's the thruway and the three agencies' objective to make that the case forever. However, we cannot overlook the obvious. The bridge is 50 years old. It was not designed to last 50 years. It was not designed to take the load and exposure that it's taking for the past 50 years. So it's been a confluence of factors: deterioration, some inherent design issues, the fact that it was never designed for earthquakes or lateral loadings. I mean, the bridge is very safe in the up and down direction. But in the sideways direction was what one of the things that you worry about with earthquakes. You also worry about with ship collisions. You also worry about it with very, very extensive storms. And as a matter of fact, we all remember the tornadoes of a couple of weeks ago. Now, that's not a common occurrence, but the bridge was not designed for that kind of thing. The causeway, the low level, more than half the bridge, everyone realizes, is very low to the water. And it's very short spans. Now, the thruway replaced those deck panels. But that entire structure, that what will be in excess of the $300 million investment to keep the road smooth and lanes open, sits on timber piling and very deteriorated concrete support structures. So that entire causeway, over half the bridge, has to be replaced no matter what we do. And if you look what it takes in the upper left-hand corner to understand, you know, what is the extent of rehabilitating the bridge? Well, it's not wide enough. It's only 91 feet wide. And in order to get the safety shoulders, provide lanes for buses, accommodate a train, two-track facility for a train, and go from 7 to 8 lanes, you really need an eastbound bridge and a westbound bridge. So the amount of work necessary for rehabilitation is just as significant, and met in some ways, and down in the lower left, you might get the sense that there is very extensive foundation work necessary for that earthquake problem. So in the end, if you rehabilitated the bridge, you'd spend about the same amount of money, you'd have the same amount of impacts in the river ecology. You might even take we expect it would take longer to do the rehabilitation alternatives than you would with a replacement. And when you're done, you would retain very significant vulnerabilities. So we believe we've made the case confidently and decisively that replacing the bridge is the best thing to do. And the sooner we get to it, the more affordable or less unaffordable it becomes. That gave us a problem, though. We established we made the case that the bridge needs to be replaced, but we also made the case in our traffic studies that the demand for future traffic is going to far exceed the capability of even a replacement bridge. And we can't consider going to 12 or 14 lanes, because in order to do that, you need to widen the Cross Westchester Expressway and the Thruway. We don't do that anymore. We don't build our way out of congestion. Mass transit is the only viable solution to the future congestion and lack of mobility. So, with this opportunity to make this major investment to cross the river, which hasn't been done, it was done in the 30s, but it won't be done for another 100 years, the agencies and federal partners decided to make this a bona fide multimodal project. So transit is just as important aspect of this project as the bridge itself. We haven't done this on our own. From the beginning, there's been very significant public involvement. Admittedly, I would say in the 2005-2006 time frame, that interaction wasn't as robust as in the beginning or in 2008 and 9 and 10. But that comes with the territory with projects like this. You have to take your time to do your study and do your work. And then when you have results, you go back, share, get input, and it's an iterative process. So the way we got to where we are right now, I'm going to focus on in 2009, we had well over 20 transit-related meetings with towns and villages all the way across the corridor from Portchester to Tarrytown and in between, and then all the way across Rockland County as well. Same thing for the bridge. We met with all the communities in the corridor, but extensively with the towns of Tarrytown and Grandview on Hudson and Nyack and South Nyack, the towns where the bridge has the most immediate impacts. And all of those meetings have been very, very helpful in us understanding concerns and formulating a solution which we hope meets everyone's needs to a level of mutual satisfaction. This looks somewhat complicated, and I'm not going to explain it except to say that we're at the right, we want to be in the blue, we're at the arrowheads. We're ready to jump in there. And by that I mean, we started in 2008 with that scoping summary on the left. We said, okay, we're going to replace the bridge, and we're going to have the bus rapid transit, and we're going to extend the commuter rail. But what does that really mean? We went through a process, a very deliberate process, that identified alignment options for the transit, that identified various bridge options, single level, dual level. It's more than that. It's more than meets the eye. We've worked all of that out through a very deliberative process, and we've documented our decisions every step of the way. Back in June, we had open houses in Westchester and Rockland, and we presented the public with the transit alignment options, the bridge options that we were left with after that exercise, the technical exercises undertaken in 2009 and 2010. And we explained how the transit systems will work. We explained that bus rapid transit, at least the way we're contemplating and intend to implement it, is going to be textbook state of the art. We explained how the commuter rail.
Can I just interject?
Absolutely.
While you're here, because I know that's going to be one of the questions the members have, so if you could just spend an extra 30 seconds when you're talking about these elements and go into a little bit of detail,
okay.
That'd be great.
Then now's the time to do it. In terms of the bus rapid transit system, it's more than just a fancy looking vehicle. The vehicles that we will be using will be state of the art in terms of energy efficiency, emissions, whatever the cutting edge technology is, that's the vehicle we're going to be starting with. What makes bus rapid transit so successful wherever it has been implemented is its reliability, is its relative comfort level, and the amenities that do come with it. Essentially, bus rapid transit is getting the effect of a commuter rail experience on rubber tires with the flexibility that bus systems bring that commuter rail doesn't have before. So we're talking about dedicated guideways, whether they be lanes, dedicated lanes in mixed traffic or in completely separate, completely dedicated, off the right-of-way or integrated in the right-of-way guidelines. The stations that are utilized for bus rapid transit are far more than the yellow curb line, street sign, and glass kiosk. These stations are going to be technology centers, if you will, in that the system will have off-board fare collection. The system is highly reliable due to GPS and other system technologies. It's very efficient, even when it does have to interact with traffic, because of the ability to integrate the bus movements with the local signal system. So there's a high use of terminology in the bus rapid transit system. And because of its reliability, because of its flexibility and adaptability, it enjoys a very high ridership success rate. The commuter rail, we're going to be putting in a two-track facility across the river, across Rockland County. It'll be electrified so that the latest propulsion vehicles, the M7s and beyond, can use it. But it'll also have to accommodate the non-electrified, the dual-mode systems that I'm sure you're familiar with that operate north of Brewster. For that service to continue out to Port Jervis. There are no stations at this point. Early on in the process, we were contemplating station in Westchester, working with the community, planning folks, transportation people. That's no longer included, though it's not precluded if it becomes a good idea in the future.
Can you repeat that again? What'd you say?
We did have a planned station in the Tarrytown area in 2007 and earlier. But subsequent to 2007, getting input from Tarrytown, the planning, the Department of Planning, and the Department of Transportation people in Westchester County, that station is no longer part of the current project.
Should we discuss that now or wait for later?
Why don't we put that as the first question?
Yeah, that is my first question. But the mayor of Tarrytown still wants that.
All right. Well, that's a question.
As of last night.
Okay.
We're happy to hear that and surprised. Okay, we'll discuss it. So I think it'll accommodate existing and future Metro North equipment, but it has to accommodate current equipment because that takes decades for it to evolve and move to the next generation. We've come up with very detailed service plans. In the case of buses, we've identified 16 routes, all of which will service Westchester in one way or another. You see most of them follow the thruway and the Cross Westchester Expressway, but several, about a third of them, are branching out. And those are feeder lines. And that's the beauty of the bus system. Whether it's in dedicated lanes or completely separate guideways, the capacity of that system will be relatively low when we implement this 16 bus system. The point is, you can add many more feeder lines to go up to Westchester County Airport, to go to Yonkers or whatever. This is the starting point. This is not the complete system. In the case of the commuter rail, we reflect the contemplated service from the Access to the Region Core project, which is a New Jersey Transit initiative, currently under discussion in the news in New Jersey. But we've reflected that in our planning and still come up with a very significant commuter rail ridership because upwards of 30,000 people want to get to the east side of Manhattan on commuter rail on a daily basis. So these service plans are key to the transportation and ridership forecasting that gets done in the DEIS. In terms of transit alignment options, what do we mean by that? Well, as you go across the corridor, the commuter rail has to sit somewhere. Is it in the median of the thruway? Is it on the south side of the thruway? Or can we put it on an underutilized railroad line at the western edge of the end of the project? There were five major commuter rail options that were under consideration, and in the case of Westchester, there were three bus rapid transit alignment options that were taken into consideration. I didn't want to take your time with the Rockland County options. I'm here to speak to the Westchester with the buses, but they're again, in the open houses and in all of the reports that we do, we go to great pains to make these technical documents as reader-friendly as possible. We want to make sure that people understand what we're talking about when we inevitably start talking in jargon. It's a bad thing that we do. We're trying to get better at it. But down on the lower right part of the graphic, you'll see the types of facilities that are going to be under consideration for the Westchester portion of the corridor, where the buses are in dedicated lanes in arterial traffic, or whether they're in dedicated lanes. In this case, we show them either on a separate roadway off the side of Cross Westchester, or in some limited applications, potentially up on a viaduct. A very important consideration for Westchester with respect to the commuter rail is how does the commuter rail get from the bridge, which as the bridge crosses the Hudson line at the river edge, it's approximately 100 feet vertical difference. And in order for the commuter rail to go 100 feet vertically, ideally at a 1.5% grade, it takes a substantial distance to get down there. We've looked at a trestle, another bridge which would come off the existing bridge, and we've looked at tunnels. The trestles have varying yet significant impacts to the river ecology by the additional footings that need to be built. But the biggest problem we think with the trestles are the visual impacts that will ensue. That trestle, if it peels off the bridge in the vicinity of Tarrytown, because of the grades and the distance required to make the grade, That'll be up in the air past Lyndhurst and past Sunnyside. It will be impacting visually the views from those two sensitive sites, as well as in the communities adjacent to the bridge. The other options we looked at were tunnel options, several. I think there were up to six tunnel options that we looked at, and there are quote-unquote long and short tunnels. Now, the long tunnel is approximately a mile long, and the short tunnel is about a third of a mile long. And the difference, the reason for those differences have to do with the short tunnel really being a combination tunnel and a short bridge over the existing Hudson line. It gets fairly complicated. These were the options that we evaluated. And in the coming weeks, by the end of the month, at the latest, we'll be announcing what we think are the options to be carried forward in the DEF. The impacts associated with these tunnels vary, obviously. The short tunnel affects the Irving neighborhood in Tarrytown, because you have to build that short tunnel by working from the surface. The long tunnel, you'd be building it from underground. It would be a mine facility. And then again, the trestle, you'd be out in the river for as long as we're building the bridge. And again, it has a different set of impacts. All of this will be evaluated and laid out as we move forward in the DEIS. Another feature in Westchester that has to do with the buses and with the way the bridge touches down is the need for some of the bus lines to go to the Tarrytown station. And we've looked at two routes. Well, we looked at more than two. We looked at a route that would come off the bridge and go up Broadway. And adding additional buses to Broadway and having to access the station through Main Street in Tarrytown, we thought to be not in the system's interest and certainly not in the community's interest. So we've come up with two alignments where we come off the bridge and go down to the existing railroad right-of-way. We can do these within the existing property lines and run the bus line down along the existing railroad right-of-way up to the existing station. Now, one of the other things that we did when we did a scoping update and reissued the notice of intent was to change the process from the NEPA perspective. That's the National Environmental Protection Act. This is a federal action, so we're doing a federal EIS, and that will meet the requirements of New York State SEAKER, and there's a formal process to ensure that that happens that we will follow. But at the same, when we refiled the notice of intent, we took advantage of an opportunity to advance this project in stages. We implemented tiering. What is meant by tiering? Well, there are two tiers. Tier one is a planning level analysis. Tier two is the full-blown final analysis. We had this problem. We have this bridge that has these needs. Every year that we wait, it costs hundreds of millions of dollars more. We've also decided absolute commitment to a new mass transit component to address congestion and mobility needs for the future. But in order to get that right, you have to work very closely with communities. You have to do a lot of engineering. You have to do a lot of transportation planning. Of necessity, it will take a very long time. So how are we going to solve what appears to be two important objectives that are cross purposes? The answer we got working with our federal partners was, if we could identify the mode, if we could identify where that mode is going to be, and how much room it needs, and where are the critical points throughout the process, where does it start, where does it end, we can plan for the transit in the bridge and the highway work, and then when we're done, we can get started with the bridge, making room for the buses and the trains, and then follow up in very, very high-level detail with the communities, working out all of those other issues. including changing whatever assumptions we made at this stage of the process. We've laid out three stations, three train stations in Rockland, where we think they should be, where they make sense. We've laid out six bus rapid transit stations in Rockland. I think there's 15 or 16 bus rapid transit stations in Westchester. We think that's where they should be. We won't know for sure until we come back and finish that tier two analysis, working with all the communities. So, if Tarrytown now believes that, you know, including a train station in Tarrytown makes sense, well, there's the opportunity, you know, to adjust. Now I'm going to get into the specifics going across Westchester. What options did we have to take into consideration? Well, as you're coming off the bridge and coming through Interchange 8 in the busway option, now this is something that's not integrated in local traffic. We have an option that would run the buses in Route 119 in a dedicated lane. Other buses could use that lane, but it has to contend with existing traffic, especially at major intersections. The busway would not be integrated into the local street system. And in the area of Benedict Avenue, we would propose running the busway on the north side of the thruway and either continue along the backside of the Marriott Hotel and head into Elmsford. The idea is we want to put a stop here in the Benedict Avenue location. So do we put it up in the air over at the back of 660 or the Marriott? Or could we take advantage of we understand the shopping center, ShopRite, Stop and Shop is coming, and maybe put a station there by putting in this alignment. So we're looking at those two at this location. In the city of White Plains, we've been working with people in White Plains traffic, and again, county planning. There's no good place to put dedicated lanes in the city with the existing congestion. We're very much aware of that. We're very keen to that, and we don't want to make matters worse. So we did look at bidirectional services on Hamilton Avenue or bus lanes on Hamilton and Main. So those are the two that make the most sense at this point. And as I said, by the end of the month, at the latest, we'll be issuing, you know, our decision on what we think makes the most sense. It's no secret that we're all very down on taking lanes out of Main Street. We certainly don't see us taking properties on Main Street.
Michael, just to interject real quickly, just so you know, we've got about 20 minutes left.
I got about maybe 6 or 8.
Okay, and then we want to leave time for the members for questions.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. Just a little logistical note.
In both cases, whether we would move, when we're evaluating the bus lane solution, again, street system versus completely separate, coming through Elmsford and Greenberg, Route 119 is just too crowded, too narrow. So in both scenarios, we would run the buses adjacent to the south side of 287. Okay, and we would have a proposed station at the west end of Elmsford and over on the east side and then over at Hillside Avenue. And this would work with the bus lane situation. Again, these are, without getting into the plans, this might not be helpful, but again, it shows the differences at various locations.
Does this require a widening of 287?
No. As you can see, if you look up on both the diagrams, we don't want to touch 287. The federal highway system, New York State, DOT has spent, you know,
you're still doing it. You're still doing it now.
Understood. Before this, I did everything. I did Interchange 8, up to Interchange 8, and I was the construction guy. And I know there's one more to go. There's one more Exit 8. Should be the last one in the major master plan. Answer your question, no. We'll be we'll integrate this into the right-of-way as best we can. And the upper one is completely within the, at Winthrop Avenue, is completely within the right-of-way in the highway, although we do have to go through the rock cut. Over at Yosemite Park in Greenberg, there is an encroachment outside, but again, we don't take the roadway. And, you know, those right-of-way impacts, again, would be evaluated in much greater detail in the Tier 2 transit, which is going to follow this when we're at work building the bridge. So continuing further east through the, here's, again, the differences between the busway and the bus lanes are that they're at different segments along the route. So again, at Noble Road, this shows that the bus lane can switch to the north side. So we've got an alternative that has it on the south side or on the north side. And each one has different impacts. Each one has some implications for accessibility to the proposed stations. East of White Plains, in a bus lane alignment, we've worked out this arrangement here. We're basically going to use Westchester Avenue because even the long-term forecasts don't show that being anywhere near congested as west of White Plains. But in all of the scenarios, when we go from Westchester Avenue east of where we cross Route 128, we're back into a busway scenario and dedicated only the BRT system, and that stays dedicated and actually goes on an overhead flyover and actually comes down in the railroad right-of-way at the New Haven line to get to the station. Again, these are
fly over in Portchester?
South of Portchester, just east of the I-95 interchange. It's a flyover for the two-lane bus facility.
What are you flying over?
We would have to come up to get over
287?
No, we're on the north side of 287. We want to come up and get into the railroad right-of-way.
North side of 287, even going east?
Across yes. The hospital grounds and the shopping
center.
No, it's for the Hutches.
No, we're not going to... No, we're past the Hutches. Hutches in the middle.
Yeah.
Where it's just east of I-95. We have to come up on a short viaduct to get over the terrain to get into the railroad right-of-way. We're not going to go through the hospital grounds. We're doing our best to avoid those types of impacts.
Yeah, but it's residential.
95 is east of all that. So if you're getting up to 95 and then running out of room.
Grace Church Street?
I have to apologize. I don't have a finer detail right available. Be happy to get you that detail.
That'd be great.
Much happy. I'd be very happy to forward that to Chris.
Great. Thank you.
Again, that gives you a sense of... That's what I meant by flyover, where it starts to come up. We have to cross over the service road, and then when we do get into the railroad right of way, we're not affecting any residential area. We're just putting in the two bus lanes. When we talk about bus lanes, it's important to understand we're talking about one bus every 5 minutes, which is fabulous bus service. But not a lot of traffic when you get right down to it.
Compared to 287.
Yeah, there were concerns raised over in Tarrytown by putting that bus lane connector up to the Tarrytown station from the residents in the Quay. We understood, but we explained, yeah, it's buses, but it's, you know, one bus every 5 minutes in each direction. It's not going to be...
To the extent you say, to the extent that on a guideway, but I guess the same bus goes from guideway to out into the streets.
Yes.
So this cannot be you know, rubberized, and there's tons of noise in the wheels. This cannot be completely kind of rubberized on a guide wheel because you are going out to the streets.
No, we're not talking about any mechanical systems. These are all going to be more driver.
Many years ago, we heard about the German system. I guess you were here. They had the German system where they came in.
So these are regular
high speed on guides.
Yeah, we're familiar with that. It's got a sensor where the driver can just sit back. And until it gets off that section of the road.
See, we've been doing this as long as you have. My first notes here were 1995.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough. Now, real quickly now, but not to under-emphasize the importance. In terms of bridge configurations, we said in June of 2009 we're going to evaluate single-level and dual-level solutions. All of the solutions that we've considered include four lanes in each direction. There are seven today, and they moved the barrier to favor the heavy movement. So there's a technical slight increase in capacity by doing that, but for all intent and purposes, we're not going to 10 or 12. We're not putting out an incremental capacity improvement. They will all have one bus lane in each direction. All of these alternatives we looked at have safety shoulders, and all accommodate a two-track railroad facility. In looking at the single level, we looked at least 10, and there were even more, but we evaluated 10 and went through the process of elimination. In terms of dual level, what's the difference between it being deeper and the trains can go on the bottom? The most important feature with a deeper dual level structure is you can get a much more efficient bridge. You can go from 230-foot spans to 450-foot spans. That's half the number of foundations that are required in the river. Again, we looked at upwards of 10. We looked at exactly 10 of those. We have a wide range of criteria. It's not just dollars in engineering. It's environmental. It's environmental long-term, that's the operating, and it's the short-term during construction. All these factors we're taking into consideration. We released a report. We had a draft report internally and showed these six as the result of that technical study. We're now going to be going from these six. We've refined them further. Option three is somewhat different in that the trains are now on a separate third span that can be built in the future with only two piers in the water instead of three. So again, by the end of the month, we're going to be announcing which single and which dual level option we're going to be moving forward. So we're going to be evaluating two, but it took us a year to make sure that we got the right.
Francis, on that point, the decision maker to make that decision, is this DOT, is this a consortium of all your stakeholders?
It's the three lead agencies with the two federal agencies.
So there are five parties in the decision-making process.
Mm-hmm. So with input all along it.
But is DOT became the project manager again a couple of years ago?
Yeah, we're leading the day-to-day. But all decisions are made jointly. There's an executive steering committee comprised of the commissioner, the executive director, and the president of Metro North.
Is it a unanimous decision, or is it going to be majority
consensus?
Yes.
It's like, you know,
there's no point in moving forward if the agencies are
right.
Okay.
Sure
is. And so far, so good. Okay, in terms of highway improvements, I just want to make it clear, there are no planned highway improvements in Westchester County for the reason I just stated about 287. However, there are several that were under consideration. I just wanted you to know we don't have any. So, what are we looking at in the EIS? What are the studies? Well, we do the no build, we do the forecast for 2035 and 2047 as the comparative baseline. And compare all the other alternatives to that. So, all of the alternatives will have a replacement bridge. All of the alternatives will have the commuter rail situated in the same location. What's different about the alternatives is how the busway, how the buses will operate and where that facility is actually located. So one alternative has busway all the way across Rockland and Westchester. The other next alternative has busway in Rockland, completely dedicated, but the buses in dedicated lanes across Westchester. Another alternative has the buses operating in an HOV lane that may be built on the thruway from the bridge to about exit 15, just shy of exit 15, with a busway in Westchester, and the other one would be the HOV lane operation for the buses in Rockland with bus lanes in Westchester. I've noticed on your agenda you wanted to know where we were with finance. We'll do about 30 seconds. Fortunately, but
this is the million-dollar question.
Try the trillion-dollar question.
It's the 16,000 million.
Yeah.
1.6 billion-dollar question, right?
16.
But it is.
16 billion?
16. For the entire package. The agencies brought on a financial advisor back in 2009. Merrill Lynch, shortly after we signed the contract, they became Bank of America. I think we all remember those days. The other partner is Loop Capital, a banking firm from Chicago that does a lot of these municipal deals. And Winston & Strawe is their legal consultant out of New York City. We've structured a three-step contract with the financial advisor. The first step is to develop some core strategies. You know, what's out there, what can be done, what's the nature of the beast, how big is this problem that we're trying to deal with, what do we really need to finance, and what are the ways that we might go about that. The second step would be of all of the strategies that they've identified, which look to be the most promising, which ones do we want to try to commit to and develop and implement. And then the third step would be them working as the agency's agent in putting together whatever packages are necessary to make this happen. Therefore, our financial advisors cannot be part of any deals which may or may not come out of this process. They will work as our agent, not as a potential beneficiary.
They can't be a lender, in other words. They can't provide
They can't be a lender, and
or a broker.
They can't be a broker. They're going to be an extension of our...
Just a consultant.
Yes. So we are, in November, we're going to be issuing the core strategies report. It is not the finance plan. It will not tell us or recommend to us how to pay for this. It's going to identify the potential management structures that you might want to use. Do you keep the existing through authority arrangement? Do you come up with a new entity? Because the structure that you might use feeds into the financing mechanisms that might be at your disposal. It's going to list various financing mechanisms. And then, of course, it's going to identify revenue streams. Because whatever we come up with, we need revenue streams to support those financial structures. So it's going to be a presentation of what they considered. It's going to include a financing model that will be used in the refinement, in the next step, the refinement stage. And again, no recommendations, no solutions, but a listing of the most promising avenues to pursue. Then, of course, working with the administration, the agencies, and the, you know, the business and local government and legislature, absolutely. Then they'll come to closure on which of these makes the most sense. Which do we want to pursue? So that's the overview.
Question on finances before you purchase.
Sure.
Could you break down the finances for us? What costs what?
Okay. $16 billion estimate. It's approximately $6 billion for the bridge. About $2 billion for highway work in Rockland. About $2 billion, $1.5 billion for the bus rapid transit system, and the $6.5 billion for the commuter rail. I think that's 16.
Now, when you talk about, what about for combination of private property and stuff like that? What does that include?
Right-of-way costs?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's included in all of those subcategories. We have not identified any list of properties, but we're using a rule of thumb, and the fact of the matter is we are avoiding properties to the greatest extent that we can. We have the best handle on property requirements for the bridge and highway work because that's what we will be acting on in the first instance, so to speak. We will identify property impacts and requirements in this Tier 1 analysis, but not to a parcel by parcel level. That will come in the Tier 2 transit development.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. Unfortunately, folks, we are out of time. We've got a 4 o'clock meeting that's got to be in here. So I know everybody's got 2 questions, but if we open it up, we're going to be here for 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So I apologize we don't have time for questions, but Michael, thank you very much. This was a great update.
But could we schedule another meeting on this with where we can ask questions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think
this raises some questions. Can I just make a comment? I've been following this since 1995. I've been to a lot of the meetings, the ones that I haven't been to, Chris has been to. There are some new elements here that have been introduced this year. There have been some refinements that, frankly, I haven't seen before, even though I have, you know, summaries of all their documents. So I think what might have to happen here is some, I know they've had some offline meetings with the community. There are some community members from Tarrytown here, or at least one. I think we might need some offline meetings with the mayor of Tarrytown, who's still pushing the idea of the railroad station right at the bridge. The community that's concerned about just being wiped out completely because the right of way would have to be extended. So maybe we ought to have some offline meetings with at least the Greenberg people, if you wouldn't mind setting
up.
Well,
let me just say also from a macro standpoint, this was a great beginning of a conversation.
It was very helpful.
This is a dialogue. This is a process. Again, we apologize. We don't have time for legislative questions now, but this is what it is. It's a great overview, and we will be back at this. So we thank Michael and his team for coming. And
it'd be our pleasure to be with you at your community.
That would be great.
When the report comes out. And the report's coming out.
Maybe right after the core strategies report, the financial reports.
That would be very interesting.
That would be good. That's a good time.
All right, we have a motion to close.
So moved.
Is a lot of this on the way?
Thanks.
Give one to Alfreda Williams, who's not here today. She's out.
I've mailed her. Well, I haven't mailed her the press, so I'll send her another one. There's kids drawing here from our kids as well.
Why don't you, if you don't mind, I'll take you to her office.
Okay.
So that you can raises more questions than it answers.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just rather nameplates.
Yeah.
Thanks. You know, I don't know.
Is that still on?
Chair of the Public Works Committee.